Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Divorced men. What did she say when you refused to take her back? I hadn't heard from her in 3 years. Not a birthday message. Not a stray email. Not a single accidental like on old photos. Then, on a random Tuesday morning, while I was brushing my teeth and scrolling through notifications, there it was. Alice. Hey, random question. Why are you still single? I stared at the message for a solid minute, toothbrush hanging out of my mouth like some kind of idiotic question mark. I hadn't seen her name on my screen since the day our divorce finalized. We'd both signed the dotted line. She walked out of the courthouse with sunglasses on and her new boyfriend waiting in the car. And I never looked back. Well, I tried not to. I rinsed, spat, wiped my face, then walked around my apartment like a caged animal. That text, 7 stupid words, brought back everything. The way she used to talk to me like I was her safety net. Her plan B. The guy she married because I was stable, while she secretly resented how boring I was compared to the chaos she craved. And now she was texting me, asking why I was still single? No, how are you? No, sorry for the way things ended. Just a dig disguised as a question. I typed 3 different replies and deleted them all. Finally, I settled on the most neutral thing I could manage. Didn't expect to hear from you. She replied instantly. Lowell, I know. Just curious. Saw a picture of you in Laura's story. You looked good. Laura, our mutual friend who never really picked a side. I didn't answer, but she kept going. Did you ever date anyone after me? Like serious? Are you still in the same apartment? I always loved that view. Now I was pacing. What was this? Nostalgia? Boredom? Guilt? Or something else entirely? I finally responded. What's this really about, Alice? This time, she took her time. 3 dots danced on the screen for almost a minute. Then she sent, honestly, I've been thinking a lot lately, wondering if we gave up too fast. I laughed out loud. Actually laughed. The kind of laugh that comes from pure disbelief. She gave up. She cheated. She packed her stuff in one afternoon and left. Told me I was too safe, that she needed someone who could match her ambition. Enter Ryan, younger, louder, more exciting. He was in marketing or crypto or real estate or whatever hustle she was obsessed with at the time. I didn't care. She moved on in record time. And now she was wondering. So, what's your situation these days? She asked. I should have blocked her. Right then and there. But I didn't. I don't know why. Maybe I needed to hear her say it. Let's meet up sometime, she wrote next. Just coffee. No pressure. I'd like to talk face to face. I didn't answer. Instead, I stared out the window of my same old apartment, the one she used to complain about being too quiet. It wasn't quiet now. My heart was pounding. Not because I missed her, but because I already knew something was coming. Something messy. Something she wasn't saying. 2 days passed before I replied. I said yes. Not because I wanted her back, but because part of me needed to hear, out loud, what she'd say when I told her no. We met at a small cafe we used to love before things went to hell. Neutral ground. Not too fancy, not too familiar. She was already there when I arrived. Black turtleneck, hair up, big sunglasses. Like she was playing the role of regretful ex-wife in a sad little indie movie. She stood when she saw me. Her smile was soft, almost embarrassed. Wow, she said. You look good. I nodded. So do you, Lieutenant. She looked tired. The kind of tired that no amount of makeup or lighting can hide. But I wasn't here to flatter her. We sat, ordered coffee, chatted awkwardly. Weather? Work. She mentioned she was freelancing now. Something about brand strategy. No mention of Ryan. No mention of why she wanted to meet. I waited. Finally, she sighed and leaned forward. I've been doing a lot of thinking, she said, fingers tracing the rim of her coffee cup. About us. About everything. Here it comes. She talked about how stable I was. How safe she felt with me. How she never had to worry when I was around. How I listened. How I made her feel seen. All things she'd once mocked as too boring for her. Then she said it. I think I made a mistake. There it was. The line I'd played in my head 1,000 times. Not that I wanted to hear it anymore. Not now. I sipped my coffee. Let the silence do its work. I mean, she rushed on. I'm not saying we should jump back into anything, but maybe we could talk more? See where things go. I looked her dead in the eye. I'm not that guy anymore. She blinked. What do you mean? I set down my cup. I'm not your fallback. Your comfort zone. The one you crawl back to when things get hard. I didn't say that. You didn't have to. Her smile faltered. Just for a second. Then she said it. The one sentence I didn't expect. The one that would crack this whole thing open. Ryan doesn't know I'm here. And just like that, I knew exactly what game she was playing. But I also knew exactly how I'd end it. I just needed her to say a little more. I stared at her. Ryan doesn't know you're here? She looked away, stirred her coffee like it might change color. It's not what you think. Okay, I said. So what is it? Alice hesitated. Her fingers twitched against the ceramic mug. We're going through things. Going through things or broken up? She didn't answer immediately, just sighed. Then, it's complicated. Of course it was. She always said that when she didn't want to take responsibility. When she wanted me to read between the lines and excuse her behavior because she was overwhelmed. I didn't say anything. I waited. She finally muttered, I moved out last week. I raised my eyebrows. And you thought I should be the first person to know? No, she snapped, a little too defensively. I didn't know who else to talk to. That hit harder than I expected. Not because I missed her, but because I'd been that guy for so long. The emotional punching bag, the loyal listener, the fallback plan. Not anymore. Have you talked to Laura? I asked. Your sister? Literally anyone else? I don't want their judgment. But mine's okay? She looked at me, lips trembling slightly. Yours matters. I almost laughed. But I didn't. Because part of me, some stupid stubborn part, still wanted to be seen as the better man. I took a long sip of coffee and let her sit in the silence. Alice shifted in her seat. Look, I know I hurt you. I know I was selfish back then. Back then? I asked quietly. She flinched. Okay, a lot of the time, she corrected. I was caught up in this fantasy of who I thought I needed to be. Ryan was exciting, and he made me feel wanted in ways I hadn't felt in years. I didn't react. I'd heard that excuse before. But that faded, she added quickly. It always fades, and when it did, I realized something. She leaned forward. Her voice softened. You were the only person who ever made me feel safe. Like I could be messy and still be loved. I blinked. That felt rehearsed. Too polished. Like something from a breakup recovery podcast. You told me once, she continued, that you never stopped choosing me. Every day. Even when I didn't deserve it. My throat tightened. Do you still believe that? She asked, eyes wide and hopeful. There it was. The question she came for. Not about friendship. Not closure. She wanted back in. And I hadn't even asked the one question that mattered. What happened with Ryan? I set down my cup. So what exactly happened? Her gaze dropped. He wasn't who I thought he was. Elaborate. She squirmed. He started changing. Became jealous. Possessive. He'd read my messages. Accused me of cheating if I came home 5 minutes late. He said I was too much work. That I needed therapy. I raised an eyebrow. Did you? Alice gave a tight smile. Don't we all? Fair. He cheated, she added flatly. 3 times that I know of. Of course he did. And when I confronted him, he told me I should be grateful someone like him even gave me attention. There it was. The exact same words she once used on me when I asked her why she stopped wearing her ring in public. You should be grateful I'm even coming home. Funny how karma never knocks. It kicks the door in. I didn't come here to dump my trauma on you, she said softly. I just wanted, I don't know, to see if maybe there's still something between us. There's not, I said. I surprised myself with how fast it came out. No hesitation. No emotion. Just truth. She blinked. You didn't even think about it. I don't need to. Her expression crumpled, but only for a second. She quickly masked it with a shaky laugh. Wow. Okay. She looked around like she was trying to escape the moment, then back at me with something sharper in her eyes. I guess I underestimated how fast you moved on. I didn't move fast, I said. I moved forward. Alice clenched her jaw. You used to love me. I used to love the idea of you, the one you pretended to be. Her face flushed. So this was just pity coffee? It was clarity coffee. I stood up. She stayed seated, stunned. And then, barely above a whisper, she said, I still have the key to your apartment. My whole body froze for half a beat. What? I asked. She smirked. I kept it. Thought maybe one day I'd use it. That's not romantic, I said. That's disturbing. You didn't change the locks. No, I said. because I never imagined you'd be desperate enough to try and come back. Her expression darkened. Don't act like you're above all this. You liked that I needed you. I liked being with someone who respected me. Silence. Thick and bitter. She finally stood up, gathered her bag and said, "You'll regret this." I stared at her. "No, Alice. The only thing I regret is thinking you were ever someone worth waiting for." And with that, I walked out, heart pounding. Not from anger, from release, but it wasn't.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Over. Not even close. Because the next morning, I got blocked by someone I hadn't spoken to in months. Her sister. Then 2 hours later, Ryan. And then, late that night, I received a voice message from an unknown number. From her. Drunk. Crying. Slurring my name. And then something that made my stomach drop. "You're the only one left who knows what really happened." The voice message haunted me. She was slurring, crying, begging me to call her back, saying she didn't know who else to turn to, saying I was the only one who ever truly knew her. And then, barely audible at the end, "You remember that night on the balcony? When I said no one else would ever see me like you did? You were right. You were right, Mark." Click. That was it. I didn't respond. I couldn't. Because as much as it stirred something old and raw inside me, it also triggered every buried instinct that once screamed, "She's playing you again." The next morning, she messaged me again. A complete 180 from the voice message. "Hey, sorry about last night. That was embarrassing. Let's pretend it didn't happen." I left it on read. An hour later, another message. "I'm curating a local art exhibit next Friday. You always said you liked my taste in photography. Thought I'd invite you. No pressure. Friends of friends. Laura will be there." Laura. Of course. She knew I trusted Laura. She was the safe name to drop. The bridge Alice thought she could rebuild. I didn't respond right away. I sat with it for a while. Then, despite every red flag waving in my brain, I typed, "Sure, I'll swing by." Not because I wanted to see Alice, but because I wanted to know what kind of story she was telling now. And to whom. Deeper. The gallery was smaller than I expected. Intimate. Exposed brick, string lights, overpriced wine in tiny plastic cups. Alice always loved this kind of thing, where she could be seen without being too obvious about it. I spotted Laura before I spotted her. She waved me over with a smirk. "Well, well, I was wondering if you'd actually show." I almost didn't. Laura sipped her drink. "So why did you?" I hesitated. "Morbid curiosity," she laughed. "Fair." She leaned in and whispered, "I assume you've heard?" "Heard what?" Laura gave me a pointed look. "She left Ryan. 2 weeks ago. It was messy." I blinked. "She told me they were just going through things." "Oh, honey," Laura said. "She's been telling everyone you two are talking again."
"What?"
"Yeah. Not in so many words. But the implication's been floating around. Like she's got some hope pinned on you." I turned cold. "Has she said it directly?"
"She doesn't have to," Laura said. "She's been dropping breadcrumbs. Emotional Instagram stories, vague captions like starting over with old photos of you two. That kind of manipulative nostalgia bait."
I clenched my jaw. Laura touched my arm. "You okay?"
"I'm fine," I lied. "That's when I saw her, Alice. Standing near the back wall, laughing with two women I didn't recognize."
She looked polished. Not the wreck from the cafe, not the broken voice from the voicemail. This version was curated. Controlled. Performed. And then her eyes found mine. For a second, she paused, like she wasn't sure whether to smile or cry. Then she smiled, like nothing ever happened. She walked over, wine in hand.
"My Mark, I'm so glad you came."
I nodded. "Nice setup."
"Thank you. It's been a while since I got to do something like this. Feels good."
She turned to Laura. "Isn't it amazing how time heals everything?" Laura gave her a tight smile. "Some wounds need more than time." Alice didn't bite. She was focused on me.
"Can I show you something?" she asked.
I followed her toward a wall lined with photographs. Stark, moody shots of urban decay, cracked windows, flooded streets. Her style hadn't changed. Dramatic, desaturated, overly poetic.
"This one," she said, pointing at an image of a rusted fire escape under stormy skies.
I call it second exit. I glanced at her. That's supposed to mean something? She smiled faintly. Depends who's looking. She moved closer. Too close. I'm not trying to pressure you, she said softly. I just wanted to share something real again. I stepped back. You've been telling people we're talking. She flinched. Who said that? Does it matter? I didn't say anything directly. That's not the defense you think it is, Alice. She crossed her arms. Why are you even here if you're going to interrogate me? Because I wanted to see if you were being honest. She looked wounded. You think I invited you here to manipulate you? Did you? Silence. Then she whispered, You don't believe people can change, do you? I believe they can, I said. I just don't believe you have. Alice blinked rapidly. You always think the worst of me. No, I said. I think exactly what you show me. She turned away. Maybe coming here was a mistake. I nodded. Maybe. She whirled around. I loved you, Mark. You used me. I was scared. You were selfish. Tears welled in her eyes. You think I'm lying about what Ryan did? No, I said. I think you're twisting it into something you can use. She gasped like I'd hit her. I wanted this to be a chance, she whispered. A beginning. It's not, I said. It's an ending you're trying to rewrite. I walked away. The gallery buzzed around me. People clinked glasses. Music played. Alice stood frozen by her photos, mascara slowly smudging. As I left, Laura caught up to me outside. You okay? She asked. I exhaled. I think I finally am. She studied me. You know she's not done, right? I know. She doesn't let go easy. I'm not hers to hold anymore. Laura nodded slowly. Just be careful. I nodded back. But part of me already knew. Alice wasn't going to give up quietly. And I wasn't going to be her story's savior. Not this time. 3 days of silence. No voice messages. No vague texts. New accidental Instagram likes. And then, just as I began to believe she'd taken the hint, I opened my front door after work and froze. There, on the floor of my apartment hallway, was a small white envelope. No name. No stamp. Just tucked under my door. Inside, a single key. My key. The one I'd never asked her to return. Attached to it was a yellow sticky note. 4 words. You were always right. No signature. I stared at it for a long time. My hand actually shook. Not from fear, from rage. Because this was so Alice. She didn't say, Sorry for keeping this. She didn't even ask to give it back. She made it a statement. A performance. She wanted me to feel something. Guilt? Regret? Nostalgia? Instead, I just felt tired. She texted that night. I returned your key. Hope that was okay. Would love to talk again sometime. Maybe lunch? If you want. Nope. I didn't reply. But 2 days later, I bumped into her again. Not by accident. I was having lunch with a client downtown, and as I stepped out of the cafe, there she was across the street, standing by her car. She waved. I didn't. She jogged across like we were old friends reconnecting. Mark, I almost didn't recognize you. I doubt that. She smiled, a little embarrassed. Okay, yeah, I knew you worked around here. So you were waiting? Coincidence, she lied. Then added, maybe a hopeful one. I exhaled hard. Alice, just 5 minutes, she said quickly. Please. I should have walked away, but I didn't. She followed me to the sidewalk bench near the river. We sat in awkward silence, seagulls screaming overhead. You're mad, she finally said. Number, I'm exhausted. From me? From games. From keys. From whatever this is. She turned toward me. I'm not playing games. I just stared at her. She swallowed. Okay, maybe a little. But not because I want to hurt you. Then why? She didn't answer at first. Then, because I want you to fight for me. That stunned me. What? She pressed on. I wanted to see if you'd care enough to say something, to chase me, to prove I mattered. You left me, Alice. I know. And maybe I needed you to prove you'd stay. I laughed, short and bitter. You cheated on me. And you wanted me to prove something? She looked down at her lap. You made me feel invisible, I said, like I was just a stepping stone to whatever phase came next. I was scared, she whispered. You were selfish, I snapped. Her eyes flared. Don't pretend you were perfect, Mark. I never said I was. You buried your feelings. You shut down when I needed you. I shut down when you shut me out. When you spent nights out networking and came home smelling like tequila and someone else's cologne. She flinched. I begged you to talk to me, I continued. And you said I was being insecure. Paranoid. Alice was silent for a moment. Then, voice trembling. I didn't know what I wanted back then. And now, I know I miss you. I stood up. She reached for my hand. Please. Don't walk away again. I yanked my hand back. You don't miss me, Alice. You miss how I made you feel about yourself. You miss being adored, being chosen. But you never chose me back. Not once. She rose too. Her voice went sharp. Don't you dare stand there and act like some victim. You think being quiet made you noble? You were emotionally unavailable, Mark. I had to drag feelings out of you like pulling teeth. That's not what you said in therapy. Yeah? She snapped. Well, maybe I was protecting you. Maybe I didn't want people to know how cold you really were. I blinked. So now I was the problem all along? I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I cut her off. You just did. Congratulations. She shook her head in disbelief. You seriously think you did everything right? But I didn't cheat. I didn't gaslight. I didn't vanish for 3 days without telling anyone. I didn't lie to my husband and tell everyone I was reconnecting with my ex so they'd feel sorry for me. She stepped back like I'd slapped her. And then, voice tight, maybe if you'd fought for me the first time, I wouldn't have looked somewhere else. I stood there. Let the words settle. Let her hear them echo back. And then, quietly, I did fight for you. You just weren't worth the bruises. She stared at me, stunned, speechless. Then her face twisted. Her voice turned cold. I hope you stay alone forever. I nodded once. That makes two of us. I walked away again. This time, not looking back. But something told me she wasn't finished. And I was right. Because 3 hours later, I got a call from a blocked number. I let it ring out. Then came the voicemail. Slurred speech. Sniffling. Mumbled apologies. And then, buried in the middle of the chaos. If anything happens to me, it's Ryan's fault. I'm scared, Mark. I'm really scared. I listened again. And again. Then I sat on the edge of my bed staring at the wall. Because now, I didn't know what was real anymore. Was she telling the truth? Was this a trap? Or was I watching someone unravel in real time? I didn't sleep that night. The voicemail played in my head over and over. If anything happens to me, it's Ryan's fault. I'm scared, Mark. I'm really scared. I should have called the police. Or maybe a friend of hers. But instead, I sat there, frozen. I'd spent years untangling myself from her chaos, and now, just a few weeks of contact, and it was all seeping back in. The emotional whirlpools, the guilt, the not knowing what was true and what was manipulation. The next morning, I did something I hadn't done since the divorce. I called her sister. Hi, Michelle answered, wary. This is unexpected. Yeah. I'm sorry to bother you, but I got a weird voicemail from Alice. She mentioned Ryan. Said she was scared. Silence. Then, Jesus. Again? What do you mean again? Michelle sighed heavily. She's been doing this for months. Calling people late at night, crying, saying Ryan's abusive, then denying everything the next day. She won't leave him, but she also won't stop using everyone around her as an emotional support hotline. So, you don't think it's serious? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But Mark, you're not her savior. And she will drag you back down if you let her. That hit me hard. Because she was right. I thanked her and hung up. Then I blocked Alice's number. Or tried to. Because before I could hit confirm, a new message came through. Not a voice message this time. A video. Just 10 seconds. Alice. In her car. Makeup streaked, hair a mess, eyes swollen. I don't know who I am anymore, she said, shaking. Ryan says he's sorry, but then, I don't know. I just want to come home. You're home. Please let me in. Click. No context. No explanation. Just emotional bait, dangling on a hook she expected me to bite. I didn't. Instead, I pressed block and sat in silence. It felt like cutting off a limb, but it was the only way I'd heal. Nod. 2 days passed. Then three. I started breathing easier again. Sleeping. The noise in my head quieted. Until I got a call from an unknown number. I ignored it. Then a message from Laura. Did you see Alice's latest story? I opened Instagram. It was a long wall of text on a black background. Classic cry for attention aesthetic. Sometimes the people who promise to protect you just vanish. Not everyone has the strength to keep loving you when you're broken. And that's okay. Because I'm not going to apologize for needing help. Another slide. To anyone who ever made me feel like I was too much, maybe you were just not enough. And then the kicker. Funny how the people who said they loved you the most are the first to ghost you when things aren't pretty anymore. I read it twice. There were comments already piling up. Mutual friends saying, you deserve better. Others writing, we're here for you. Some shared their own breakup trauma, projecting. But Laura's comment stood out. You should really tell the whole story, Alice. Or do you want me to post our messages? Brutal. Alice deleted that slide within an hour, but the damage was already done. Later that night, I got an email. Subject line, not looking for sympathy. Body. I know you probably hate me now. I don't blame you. I wasn't fair. To you. To myself. To anyone. But I meant it. I'm scared. Ryan's not who he pretended to be. And I didn't know who else to turn to. I promise this isn't about getting back together. I swear. I just needed someone who knew me before I lost myself. Please don't tell anyone about the voicemail. Or the video. I was drunk and stupid. I'm sorry. If you never want to hear from me again, I'll understand. But if there's even a tiny part of you that still sees the girl you used to love, just text me. You don't have to say anything. I'll know. That was it. No name at the end. No dramatic signature. Just a blank space where I was supposed to feel something. But I didn't. I wasn't angry. I wasn't hurt. I was done. So I did the one thing she never expected. I didn't reply. I didn't text. I didn't unblock. Instead, I forwarded the message to Michelle with a simple note. Heads up. Just in case. And then I walked away from my phone and went to bed with the window open, the city noise humming like freedom. Because that email? That was the real goodbye. And I wasn't going to be the one who left the door cracked open this time. I didn't respond to the email. I didn't unblock her. I didn't even listen to the voicemail again. But she didn't stop. 3 days later, I got a ping from an unknown Instagram account. The name was gibberish, but the profile picture was unmistakably hers. One of those filtered, soft light selfies she used to take when things in her life were falling apart. But she still needed to feel adored. The message just said, "Check my story. I finally told the truth." Against my better judgment, I did. It was a video. Dim lighting, her face half in shadow. The sound of traffic outside her window. Her voice raw and tearful. I've been afraid to say this, but I'm done protecting people who hurt me. When you give everything to someone, your heart, your home, your years, and they still leave you when you're not perfect, that breaks something. She paused. Some people only want the pretty version of you. They don't want your darkness. They say they loved you, but really, they loved how you made them feel. The next slide was just white text on black. I should have left sooner, but I thought love meant staying, even when it hurt. The final slide? A blurry photo of a handprint on a wall. Faint. Red-tinged. No context. No explanation. Just the illusion of violence. Implied. Inferred. Timed perfectly to feed the narrative. I felt my chest tighten, because even though she didn't name names, she didn't have to. The comments poured in. You're so brave. Who did this? Say the name. This is heartbreaking. I hope he rots. Protect women. Always. And then, a comment from her cousin. I knew Mark was never as perfect as he pretended to be. I froze. The implication was obvious. She wasn't accusing Ryan. She was pointing fingers at me. I called Laura. Did you see her story? Laura's voice was tight. I did. She's implying I hurt her. I know. And that's why I'm done staying silent. 10 minutes later, she texted me screenshots. Messages from Alice to Laura, dated weeks ago. In them, Alice confessed she'd been thinking about spinning the story to get sympathy, to reclaim control of the narrative. One line in particular stood out. Everyone already assumes Ryan's toxic. It won't make an impact. But if I hint that Mark abandoned me or wasn't who people thought he was, it'll get attention. I don't need to say he hit me. I just need to let people wonder. That's all it takes. I stared at my screen in disbelief. My stomach turned. This wasn't just manipulation anymore. This was character assassination. I messaged Laura. Can you post these? Her response was instant. Already did. I opened Instagram again. On her story, a carousel of screenshots with the caption, "Receipts," because I won't let someone I care about get destroyed to save someone else's ego. The reaction was immediate. People started messaging me. Mutuals, friends, even people I hadn't talked to since the wedding. Some apologized. Some admitted they were confused. Some asked if I was okay. But I didn't respond to any of them. Because that night I got another voicemail. Alice again. Sobbing. Gasping. Unraveling. You told Laura? You gave her those messages? I trusted you. She didn't know it was Laura who exposed her. I thought you loved me. I thought we had something real again. Do you even care what this is doing to me? You think you're so perfect? Everyone's going to know the truth now. She ended with a whisper. You ruined me. And I'm going to ruin you back. Then silence. The next day, she deleted all her stories. Blocked Laura. Blocked me. Again. but not before posting one final message to her grid, a long caption about toxic people, gaslighting, and rebuilding from betrayal. It was vague enough to avoid legal problems, but pointed enough for everyone to know. Except this time, the comments were mixed. Some still defended her, but others? Weren't you just saying something different last week? Didn't Laura post receipts? I'm sorry, but this feels manipulative now. And then the one that broke through the noise. When someone burns all their bridges, they can't act surprised when no one comes to save them. That comment had over 700 likes before she turned them off. She hadn't expected backlash. She hadn't expected accountability. And that's when I realized she didn't want me. She wanted control. Control of the story. Control of the narrative. Control of the past. And now that she didn't have it, she was spiraling. But I didn't feel triumphant. I felt sad. Not for her, but for the version of me that once would have dropped everything to rush to her side. That version was gone now. And for the first time, I didn't miss him. It started with a knock at my office door. A soft, hesitant knock. The kind that doesn't come from a courier or a colleague, but from someone hoping they won't be turned away. I looked up, and there she was. Alice. Makeup-free, hair pulled back in a loose bun, wearing a simple coat over clothes that looked slept in. Her eyes were bloodshot. She looked small. Can I come in? She asked softly. I paused, then nodded. She stepped inside like a ghost drifting through a familiar place. She didn't sit, just stood in front of my desk and stared at me like she hadn't already tried to destroy my name in front of hundreds of people. You blocked me, she whispered. I did. You didn't answer my emails. No. She swallowed hard. Then why let me in now? Because I needed to say it to your face. Say what? That it's over. Completely. No more late-night messages. No more crying voicemails. No more cryptic Instagram stories. She blinked. You think I'm doing this for attention? I didn't answer. She stepped closer. I'm not. I'm not lying. I'm not manipulating you. I'm just... Her voice cracked. I'm just broken. And I'm not your glue. She flinched. I'm not here to fix you, I added. I did that for years, Alice. I gave you everything. My time. My peace. My name. And when you had all of that, you still looked for more. She shook her head. I was stupid. I thought there was something better out there, but there wasn't. There was, I said quietly. It just wasn't you. That shattered her. She sat down abruptly, like her legs couldn't hold her anymore. Her voice dropped to a whisper. Then why did you come to the gallery? Why meet me at the cafe? Why even reply to that first message? Because I needed closure. Not for us. For me. She covered her face with her hands. I can't believe you're really saying this, she whispered. Not you. Not after everything. I stayed silent. She looked up. Her eyes burned. So that's it? You're just walking away? After all the years? After everything we were? We were broken long before we divorced. But there were good moments, she pleaded. You loved me once. I did. But I don't anymore. Silence. Then her voice turned sharp. Is there someone else? No. Then what's the rush to burn this bridge? There is no bridge, I said. You burned it 3 years ago. She shook her head. You think you're better than me now. You think you're healed. But people don't just stop loving like that. I didn't stop overnight, I said. It took every day since you left for me to slowly stop waiting for you to come back. And now that you are, I realize I don't want you anymore. Tears rolled down her cheeks. She didn't wipe them. Say something, she whispered. Anything that gives me a reason to hope. I stood up, walked to the door, opened it. No. Her mouth opened like she wanted to scream, but no sound came out. Then she laughed, a sharp, broken laugh that turned every head in the office. Of course, she said bitterly. You're the perfect man now. Cold, logical, emotionless. No wonder I left you. I didn't respond. She stood, trembling. Well, I hope you enjoy being alone. Because this, she gestured between us, was the best thing that ever happened to you. And you threw it away. I looked her in the eye one last time. No, I said. You did. And she snapped. Right there, in the middle of my office, in front of clients, coworkers, strangers. You're a coward, she screamed. You always were. You never fought for me. You just watched me leave. Security came within minutes. They gently pulled her away as she kicked and sobbed and cursed. And me? I stood still. Because I wasn't angry. I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't even surprised. I was free. The aftermath was messy. For her, she posted one last rant online, claimed I humiliated her, that I weaponized silence, that I used emotional detachment as control. But no one believed her anymore. Not after the screenshots. Not after the stories changed 10 different times. Not after she lost her last real defenders. Eventually, her account went dark, and I haven't heard from her since. People ask me why I didn't retaliate. Why I didn't post more proof, or write my side of the story online. But the truth is, I didn't need to. Because the final word wasn't mine, it was hers. The screaming, the tears, the begging, the accusations, all of it, in public, all of it, without me raising my voice once. And that, in the end, told everyone what they needed to know. After the last meltdown, she vanished. No posts, no stories, no messages from burner accounts. It was like she evaporated, a ghost of a life I used to orbit around. And I didn't chase it, not this time. What surprised me wasn't the silence. It was the stillness it left behind. For the first time in years, I wasn't checking my phone and bracing. Bracing for guilt bombs disguised as confessions. For, I just wanted to say, texts. For vague threats framed as vulnerable honesty. The quiet was clean, unfamiliar, but I got used to it fast. I went to dinner with friends, real friends, and didn't talk about her once. I reconnected with my sister, Michelle. We laughed about childhood things. We didn't mention Alice. I walked into my apartment one night, looked at the space where she used to keep her shoes by the door, and I didn't flinch. I deleted our old shared drive. I threw out the last mug she bought on that trip to Seattle. I changed the lock, finally, not out of fear, but because it just felt like time. And one night, while cleaning out a drawer, I found a folded paper, one of her old notes, from back when we were still newlyweds. It said, "Thank you for making me feel like I'm enough, even when I know I'm not." I stared at it for a while, then I burned it in the sink. People kept asking what happened. Did she really accuse you of... Was she always like that? Do you think she'll try to come back again? I always gave the same answer. It doesn't matter anymore. Because it didn't. The truth was this. Alice had been two people. The woman I married and the woman I divorced. The problem was, I never realized the second one had always been hiding behind the first. And when she finally took off the mask, it was too late to pretend otherwise. The damage had already been done. Not just to us. To me. To the version of myself I had to kill to survive loving her. Some nights, I still wake up with her voice in my head. Not yelling. Not crying. Just whispering. Little things she used to say to keep me on edge. "You'd be nothing without me. No one will ever love you like I do. If you ever leave me, I'll make sure everyone knows what kind of man you really are. And the worst one? You'll come back. You always come back." That one used to scare me the most. Because for a long time, it was true. Until it wasn't. Until I finally said no. People romanticize second chances. They talk about forgiveness like it's a cure. But some people use second chances like knives. They don't want healing. They want access. Control. Proof that you'll keep tolerating what they refuse to fix. And the moment you stop, the moment you choose you over them, they'll call you the villain. They'll twist the narrative. Make you feel like the abuser for protecting yourself. But here's what I've learned. You don't owe anyone access to the version of you they broke. Especially not the ones who blamed you for bleeding. Alice taught me that. In the most brutal, beautiful way. Mean arse. So why am I writing this? Not for sympathy. Not even for validation. I'm writing this because maybe someone out there needs to hear that saying no doesn't make you heartless. That choosing peace over chaos doesn't make you weak. That love without boundaries isn't love. It's survival. And eventually, that survival becomes suffocation. Until you claw your way out and finally breathe again. Free. Clear. Whole. I'm not telling this story to ruin her. She did that on her own. I'm telling this story so I can finally stop telling it to myself every night before I fall asleep. Because this is how it ends. Not with a scream. Not with a voicemail. Not with one last please. Just a closed door. And the knowledge that I'll never open it again. Not even if she's on the other side crying. Not even if she says all the right words. Because sometimes the most powerful thing you can say is the one thing she never expected. No. A full year passed. Quietly. No phone calls. No emails. No new accounts trying to bump into me online. I lived, really lived. I went back to school, part-time, changed careers, moved cities, started traveling again, relearned what my own laughter sounded like without the dull weight of guilt clinging to it. It was peace, not the kind you celebrate with fireworks, the kind you sit in, like Stillwater. Then, on the anniversary of our divorce, exactly to the day, I got the message. 1 year to the hour, from a new number. No context, no greeting, just one sentence. Would it have been different if I had stayed? That's all it said. 12 words. I read it once. And waited. Waited for my chest to tighten. For my hands to shake. For my brain to start building answers. But nothing came. No anger. No sadness. No urge to explain or comfort or correct the story she had built in her head. Just a quiet, unshakable truth. I didn't care anymore. She was a ghost. And ghosts don't get answers. I deleted the message. Didn't reply. Didn't block. Didn't save the number. She didn't deserve that much energy. That's what freedom looked like, I realized. Not slamming doors. Not loud revenge. Not proving who was right. Just peace. And the power to walk away, again and again, and never once look back. That's the part people don't talk about. They say healing is loud. That it's angry and bold and triumphant. But mine was quiet. Mine was made of boring mornings, slow breakfasts, books finished in silence, friends who didn't know her name. Mine was in the way I smiled at strangers without wondering if she'd twist it into a betrayal. In the way I started sleeping with both arms above the covers again. It was in the way I didn't flinch when her name came up in conversations. I didn't dodge it. I didn't chase it. I just let it pass. Like wind. Like nothing. Like her. She was a chapter, not the story. And even though she tried to rewrite herself into the ending, I took back the pen and wrote this instead. To anyone reading this, you don't owe your ex closure if all they ever did was twist it into leverage. You don't owe kindness to people who only understand it as weakness. And you definitely don't owe your peace to someone who mistook it for passivity. I didn't write this to shame her. I wrote this to remind myself, and maybe someone else, that survival isn't always dramatic. Sometimes it looks like not responding. Sometimes it sounds like nothing. Sometimes it feels like finally sleeping through the night. And if you're lucky, one day you'll get a message like hers. Would it have been different if I had stayed? And you'll smile to yourself, not because it hurts, but because it doesn't anymore.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.